Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. 'Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything. I'm gonna kick my feet up then stare at the fan. Turn the TV on, throw my hand in my pants.
Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back. It is me, the J-O-E. And guess who else is here? How's it going, Carolyn?
The C-A-R-O-L-Y-N.
Yeah. And yes,
that'd
ladies and gentlemen,
hard chant.
It is a hard chant. And you guys are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. Joe Show. Carolyn, guess who's on the show today?
Oh, Mystical Joe.
Mystical Joe from the Lord above. Guess who's on the show?
I have a feeling. I'm using my mystical powers. Arcia is on the show again.
How's it going, Arcia?
Second appearance.
I'm doing well. How's everybody else doing?
I'm doing good. We're keeping it weird. That's how we do it.
Just like Austin, Texas.
Just like Austin, Texas.
Stay weird.
Is that what it is? Stay weird?
Keep Austin weird. Yeah,
keep the Carolyn and Joe show weird. Keep the Carolyn and Joe show weird.
That should be our new bumper sticker.
Yeah. How's it going, RC? How you doing?
Doing really well, thank you.
It's another hot day. I'm not going to lie. Today's hot. Yesterday was okay. It's getting colder. I'm not a big fan of heat. I'm going to tell you why. Because I was born in the fall.
Nice.
There's always this constant thing where I'm just like always telling people, and they always wonder this about me, is that like I'm always dressed for fall no matter what. Pants, shirt, possibly. I don't wear any a coat at this point since it's ridiculous, but like, you know, everyone always wonders that about me. I just don't wear shorts. That's why.
I've never seen Joe's legs.
I don't like shorts.
I don't think you have legs.
Do you wear shorts? I don't think you have legs.
When I go
like
swimming.
Do you wear shorts?
No, I'm generally a jeans kind of dude.
Like just jeans?
Jeans, yeah.
But like you wear pants?
I wear pants. More, you know, I like to get dressed up when it calls for it, but for the most part, I'm pretty casual.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, and another one, RC doesn't wear shorts, you know? I wear, you know, if I go to the pool or something like that, I'll maybe wear shorts.
Some swimming trunks.
Swimming trunks.
Yeah, when you hit the
that
beach.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. No. That's usually how it is, man. But I feel good now because like people are always trying to like it's just like people trying to get me drunk since I don't drink alcohol. They're like, I gotta get you drunk one day. It'd be crazy if I see you drunk. It's like now people are just like, one day I gotta see you in shorts. That's like, are you serious
about
that? It's
kind of creepy that people want to see that.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy. But here we go. It's time. The Carolyn's News.
Carolyn News segment brought to you by Cartoons Exhibit. In Modern Times Coffee House, that's inside Politics and Prose Bookstore in DC. You guys should all check it out. It runs until September 1st, so you guys have like a whole month.
You guys,
you have like a whole month to check out this show. It's called Cartoons, but the word art inside of it is in caps. That's clever. Anyway, check it all out.
That's pretty clever, guys.
At 5015 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Again, inside the Politics and Prose bookstore, which is an awesome bookstore, by the way, go down to the Modern Times coffee house, and you can check out the Cartoons exhibit, and there's tons of work by local cartoonists and some major big players. Like, we're talking about Pulitzer Prize-winning artists, and...
Pulitzer!
There's a Pulitzer Prize winner in our exhibit, I gotta say. And you can buy all the artwork that's available for purchase. It's pretty amazing, already framed, already can look good on your wall. So check that out. Again, the show runs until September 1st, so you have time. You have tons of time. Also, if you're a youngin', I want to let you know.
If you're a what?
A youngin'.
A youngin'? What counts as a youngin' these days?
If you're in your junior or senior year of college during the 2014 and 2015 academic year, you can apply for the J. Kennedy Memorial Scholarship. Find out more information at cartoonistfoundation.org. And your entries are due December 16th. And this is run by the National Cartoonist Society. So if you're a youngin' cartoonist out there, I mean, I don't see why you would not want to win a $5,000 scholarship.
Who doesn't want to win $5,000 in general?
I know, really? This is a great opportunity. So go to cartoonistfoundation.org. Also, major news, deadline approaching for Magic Bullet number 7, the Halloween issue. The deadline is August 1st. You guys have this week to work on it.
You guys have one week.
Less than a week.
To create the greatest thing you've ever done in your
entire
life.
I mean, isn't that when people try to get their deadline in anyway?
1 week? Is that how you do it, RC?
I'm always best under pressure. Last minute.
I bet everyone's working on it right now. I mean, I checked my email earlier today, and I got like 3 in today. So
that's like the end of the world scenario. You're like, it's today or never type deal.
That's the funny thing is we've been promoting this deadline for, I don't know, maybe like 4 months now. And everyone's like, yeah, I have until August 1st, I can do it. And then now it's like crunch time, and I'm like, okay, well, you have a week now, less than a week. And then like everyone's like, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm getting it.
So it's due August 1st?
Due August 1st, y'all.
August 1st? That means, so when this show comes out, that's, you have a day.
You have a day.
2 days, 2 days possibly.
You know what? And you might be able to work out something with me. But I'm just saying, you don't have much time.
Bribery
left.
Is
get
acceptable.
On it, peoples.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine me with like my, what are those called when they brand the cattle? Those like heated up sticks.
I think it's branding, right?
Branding.
It's branding.
Yeah, like, okay, so imagine me with my little hot branding stick that's sizzling. And I'm going to brand everybody. I'll be like, get on it with my branding stick.
What's the brand going to be?
It's going to be Magic Bullet on your butt.
A sizzling MB.
A sizzling logo on there.
That's how it's going to be, man.
That's what's going to happen. You all better go to magicbulletcomics.com to get all the information. And also, RC, our guest this week at the Carolyn and Joe show, he has a piece, as well as us have a piece, in the Artisphere exhibit. But I don't have any information on it right now.
What's on the 21st? I believe it opens on August 21st.
August 21st. Okay. And
I remember you brought it up to me to remind me, like, oh, you guys going to do it? I'm like, I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
I'm
you
too
guys
cool.
are such like an anchor for Magic Bullet. I figure you guys would definitely be in there.
Yeah, but we're too cool, though.
So, yeah.
Carolyn, you called me like part of the popular kids today.
No, I think, see, this is a
I've
theory.
Never been part of the popular kids.
When we find out more information on Artisphere, we'll let you know, but that's later. That's
yeah, it's in a few weeks
it's
away.
It's a few weeks away.
Yeah, but
mark your calendar.
A poster came out for that, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it looks really good.
It did.
I liked it a lot.
So it's real. It's happening.
Yeah, it's coming up. Mark your calendar.
And
August
21st. August 21st. And they're also advertising in Magic Bullet, which is pretty awesome. So thank you to Artisphere. But also, I know that there will be an opening reception for that Artisphere thing, and I'm going to try to make it.
Oh, I'm going to be there, definitely. So.
Oh, yeah. Opening reception.
You guys come check out some nice art, and I'll have my piece there. It's going to be pretty cool.
So what piece did you submit so everyone can know?
Last issue of Magic Bullet, I did a one-page comic called The Transdimensional Adventures of Gumata.
Cool.
And I basically submitted that piece, so you'll see it nice and up close in a nice matte and frame, along with other works from the Magic Bullet.
It's pretty amazing that, like, between the cartoon show and now this Artisphere show, like, having your work framed up on the wall and it's all, like, art. It's art. We're in museums.
Well, you guys are in the Library of Congress.
That's true. But it's not in a frame or anything, but Library of Congress.
I always listen back to like the beginnings of these shows now, because like really it's like when we first come into the episode, it's really like I'm always wondering what am I gonna say until it's time for Carolyn's news, because it becomes
that's when you have your brain works.
Yeah,
well, what should we do now?
Yeah, but then it's like the Carolyn's news is that crucial element that like I can see how many times we've been using the same song for Carolyn's news, which is the In Motion by Trent Reznor, for 41 weeks.
Now, there's a topic I want to hit on, though, because I did call you a popular kid.
Which I have never been.
And no, but
if you guys have listened to me, you can vouch for that.
This will vouch for my point, is that you not only are you just a straight-up popular kid, though, but you are the popular kid that always says that they're not popular.
That makes no sense whatsoever, because I don't feel popular. Because
I guess you're modest about it.
No, RC, I don't know, that's weird to ask.
No,
because
see, here's the thing. We're just sitting around right before the radio show, and Joe's like, oh, I'm getting like his phone beeps. He's like, oh, I got a text. And he starts checking it. And I'm like, oh, you're popular. You're like, oh, I'm not popular. I'm like, yeah, you're like the popular kid who claims that they're not popular.
I've never been once the popular kid, and just because I'm getting a text doesn't mean I'm popular.
That's how I gauge things.
Just because you don't use like your phone,
I got two phone calls today. Just so you know, I'm equally popular. That's, two people called.
That just doesn't mean.
On a Sunday.
It's popular. I got no calls. RC called me. No, RC texted me. See, that's just how people talk these days, right? That's just how they are.
It's pretty standardized way of communicating.
It's the standard communications.
I don't like texting. I'll put it out there. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it at all.
An interesting thing.
In fact, I don't even get any more texts because it says that I'm over my...
text limits.
No. Like my saved ones, I haven't like deleted because I don't know. I archive or whatever. I don't know how to save them. And then like now new ones aren't coming in, I don't think.
No,
so it's
new-
like I have 100%. So I'm like, if you want to get in touch with me, you better call or email.
An interesting thing that RC said today, which I still think is completely hilarious. It's like because we had pizza before recording this podcast, and after we decided that okay, we're gonna have pizza, and we're wondering what toppings to put on it. And we're like, okay, let's pepperoni and sausage and stuff like that. And then RC, you said like, oh man, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. I'm going to go to hell, dude.
Yeah. I feel morally conflicted for eating meat again. I really do.
But just the fact of like,
well, let me
even
just,
if I don't even believe in hell, but if I were to believe in hell.
See, again, a popular kid has influenced RC.
What? How's the, what?
Like Joe has influenced because
that's
you,
right.
You know
you
how
took
no,
me to that one
it's
place.
True.
That one place.
It's true.
Popular kid.
You want to know why what had happened?
Why?
Meat Fest and a barbecue.
Oh, that's right. That was the start of it. It was Meat
that's,
Fest.
No, that's what it was. First of all, RC is like, okay, I'm vegetarian. He made it clear he's vegetarian, right? And then like there was a two instances where Joe took him to Willard's barbecue, and then and he's like, oh, you gotta try it. It's the best barbecue in town. And then Joe also took him to Meat Fest, which is a local family gathering that's been going on for several years.
Which is a lot of fun, by the way. I had a good time.
And it's like...
Invite only, by the way.
And you can eat all these meats. And, like, I just think it's amazing, though, because you're taking a vegetarian to basically hell, literally. Like, for a vegetarian. Like, and then now he's totally transformed
into
meat.
Yeah, I've relapsed.
Yeah, but
relapsed.
See, there's a reason. It's not just... It's
there's
not,
a reason, because I'm the popular
there's
kid.
Not just meat in front of you, and you're just like, oh my god, I'm going to eat meat. There's more to that than RC just like...
Peer pressure of the popular
it
kid.
It wasn't peer pressure at all because I remember him specifically going to Meat Fest and being like, okay, I'll just try some. They're going to have vegetables there too, right? And then like, you know, like, hold on. But like the main reasoning he said was like, it's like he, what would you say? You were a vegetarian when you're depressed or you eat meat when you're depressed?
Oh,
what
yeah,
was that?
No, actually, yeah. When I'm depressed or a little sad, feeling a little blue, I feel like, I just don't care about stuff as much as I
should. So that means you eat meat, or does
I
that mean you don't
meat,
eat?
Yeah,
so,
I do eat meat.
So when you're feeling good...
When I'm on the upside, I feel good. I think, like, you know, I do care more about things in life in general, and I take, you know, a bit more thought into what I eat.
So are you going to lapse back into being a vegetarian?
I
do you
hope
have plans
so.
On?
I hope so, yeah.
It's like in your heart you want to be a vegetarian.
Yeah. But it's
then,
just, it's a lot, of, you know, it's so hard to get food
so
on the go.
It's so hard to be around Joe.
See, I feel like it's, I'm almost in a way half accidental vegetarian because now we've gotten all these vegetarian meals, frozen meals in the freezer. And I'm just like, oh, I might as well just eat those. I don't know, man. I didn't put a gun to your head.
No, it's totally self.
Was that peer pressure? Did I peer
pressure?
No,
it wasn't.
I understand
peer pressure.
Willard's because Willard's is a great barbecue place. But I remember when after you ate there, you're like, you know what? They have great mashed potatoes.
Those mashed
potatoes are freaking
nice.
Vegetarian.
Very good mashed potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
Really good mashed potatoes.
But still, you're like, I'm going to go to hell, dude, because I was like...
You're going to vegetarian hell.
I was like, I can bring out some Chris Rock aesthetic and be like, what? So when you're up to heaven in the gate, are they really going to judge you on your diet?
Well, depends on what your belief system is.
Is that one? They're really going to, like, they judge you by the way you
First
eat?
Of all, I don't believe, like... Personally, you know, if we're going to get into like a theological debate here, I don't believe
there's no debate. There's
in that kind of concept.
There's just enlightening.
But if we're talking about like the stereotypical classic cartoony scenario where you're up in the clouds and there's a dude with a little book open judging you based on what your life actions have been, I think it's a little bit morally more, you know, I don't know. It's a bit more moral to not kill something if you don't have to.
But what if you didn't kill it?
you're still taking part of the, you're still taking part of it.
What's the word? You're a not an accomplice. You're an accomplice to the
accomplice to the slaughter.
Is that why animals don't make it in?
To heaven?
Yeah. Do animals
again,
not make it in?
We're talking about cartoony scenarios, I guess so. But you
know, there is that what is that, the circle of life? So some animals have to kill other animals to survive.
Well, that's how the nature of Earth is. I mean, this Earth feeds upon itself. It consumes itself on all levels.
Yeah.
All living creatures feed upon other living creatures one way or another.
From the bottom feeders up.
Yeah, everything does. That's just how life is on planet Earth. But, you know, we have first world problems. We're not, like, starving.
List the first world problem. I remember we were talking about this. You're like,
oh, internet goes out. Dude, what am I going to do?
And
people freak out if the internet at my work goes out for only 2 minutes. People are freaked out. They're like, well, I can't do any work for the rest of the day.
like the ultimate first world problem, again, bring up the pizza, was, like, toppings. Was what to put on the toppings. I'm like, man, this is unlimited topping. You know what I mean? I was like, I love any, you know, like put anything on there. And then you're like, what do you want, man? Choose anything. I was like, pineapple. Then you're like, no, I don't want pineapple.
Pick the one topping. The one topping. You nailed it.
I was like, that's a freaking first world problem. No, I don't like those toppings on the pizza.
I don't like pineapple.
Pineapple on the pizza.
I like pineapple, but not on pizza necessarily. I like most anything though. It's like
that's not even a meat that I added on there too.
Oh man.
You know what's nice is a nice
mushroom.
It's mushroom and spinach and olives. Well, you don't like olives.
I don't like olives.
He doesn't like olives.
I have a bad history with olives.
I didn't like them when I was a kid, but now I love them.
Maybe you should try them as an adult.
I did try them.
When was
the
last time you tried an olive?
Probably like last week. I didn't like
it. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Now, did you go into it with the same kind of thoughts and the same process that you had when you were a kid? Having an olive?
What was the mental process?
I don't know. You kind of anticipate something when you...
When I first had an olive, this is what it breaks down to. When I first had an olive, I didn't know exactly what it was. All I knew is it smelled really awesome, right? I love the smell of...
What kind of olive? Was it a green olive? A Kalamata olive?
It was
a green olive?
It was a green olive.
Okay.
And so, like, I was smelling it, and I was like, wow, this tastes great. It was part of a stew. And when I ate the part of the olive, it tastes like garbage. And I was like, ugh. That was my first ever impression of that.
Could have been a bad olive, too. I've had bad olives.
I tried another one.
Still no go.
I mean, at that point, see, like, whenever there's, like, an order of a bunch of pizzas, there's always one that has to be, like, a salad pizza and has olives on it and stuff like that. You know, and I'm like, ugh. Then, you know, I just pick them out. And that's happened, like, last week and every other week. There's always someone has to have a mound of olives. Even when someone gives you, like, a sort of, like, Subway sandwich, I'm like, who the hell puts a freaking olives on a
sandwich? I put the olives on the Subway sandwich.
I'm like, what is that?
Heck yeah, dude.
I'm like, those are the hardest things to pull out, too. Olives are so hard to pull out of a pizza and a sandwich, and I always have to take the time to do that.
The little sliced black ones.
Yeah,
I think I should hide olives in a meal somewhere and give it to you, and you will never know that there's an olive in it.
Oh, I don't know. My palate is so strong against olives. I'm just like, I know there's an olive in here somewhere. I found you. Get out of here.
Until I make it taste delicious.
How are you going to do that?
I'm not going to tell
you. I don't
even
understand how people put olives like in their drinks and stuff like
that. Like martinis and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I get stuck when I get like a martini with a two olives in there.
How is that supposed to make things taste good?
I don't know. Olives are just delicious, in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
I just love them. I like black olives. I like Kalamata olives. I like green olives. Trader Joe's. I'm going to do a Trader Joe's plug. They got these jumbo green olives. Delicious.
I remember I was searching like a fitness model like this week, and on her Twitter, she got like a giant pack of what was that gum? That five something like. Five state whatever like a fancy gum that has like big five on it. Yeah. Got it from like Wrigley's and it had a letter. It says like, I heard that you loved Wrigley's. So here's a big box of it. And if you ever want any more, just let us know. That's what's gonna happen with Trader Joe's with you. That'd be awesome.
That'd be nice. I'd be down for.
They're like.
I heard you like Trader Joe's.
A whole truck full of olives, lifetime supply.
I would go hungry if it wasn't for Trader Joe's. I really would.
Really?
I think I wouldn't be able to cook at home, or I'd starve because they have really delicious kind of. Ready to go meals.
Is that what it is? It's all about the ready to go meals?
It's kind of ready to go. It tastes good.
What is a ready to go meal? Like, that's like, it already has like the fries and the burger put together.
Well, not so much that.
No, they don't have fries there.
But it's like
healthier.
Like Indian food, kind of like, you know, you heat it up and it's kind of good to go. You just get some rice ready with it and just different foods. And it's all pretty delicious. I like it all. I don't think I've ever had anything from Trader Joe's that I didn't like.
I think olives is like Joe's worst food. if I had to pick one.
Is that my bad influence? I wonder.
Everybody's probably got one, I say. One food they just can't dig on.
For me, it's like soggy bread.
See, soggy bread does kind of suck.
But regular bread is delicious, but soggy bread.
But see,
makes me puke in my mouth.
That's a circumstance of a meal, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not a definite, like, I hate these.
I can't think of any food that I'm like, I hate.
Have you guys ever had durian before?
What's that?
It's like this crazy fruit.
I never even heard of it.
I love fruit, but this is the one fruit that I think it's an acquired taste. You probably had to grow up eating durian.
Where is it from?
I think maybe in South Asia, kind of Vietnam area, maybe Laos area, maybe.
What does it taste like?
It's really kind of funky, bitter kind of stuff. It's kind of this big kind of...
Is it like a root?
No, it's a fruit, like a big green fruit on a tree, I think. And it's got like a little spiky kind of...
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Where do you get this? With spikes.
I've seen them at Vietnamese shops because when I was a vegetarian, I used to go to Song Khu Deli in Seven's Corner. Another plug. These guys,
you're gonna be getting so much free stuff, man.
Have delicious vegetarian sandwiches, really good, delicious vegetarian sandwiches. I would go there regularly, and they'd have all sorts of yummy Vietnamese stuff there too. And
yeah,
I would try fruits and stuff, and I tried durian, and it's interesting. It's really interesting. I can see how it's an acquired taste, and maybe grew up with it.
Maybe it's just me, but you guys seem to really have more details towards the type of food that you eat. You know what I mean? You know, like, you're like, I need to hit it off at Trader Joe's and make it organic. There's something about me that I feel like, I don't know why, but I don't really...
You don't care. You'll eat anything.
Well, I won't eat anything, but I feel like there's certain things that it doesn't really matter to me as well.
You don't care if it's like pump full of antibiotics and like all these crazy pesticides.
Well, the pesticides,
and
probably.
And aspartame and high fructose corn syrup.
What's so wrong about high fructose corn syrup?
Well, it makes you fat. Your body doesn't break down the sweet like it does with sugar.
Well, maybe that's the thing though, is I don't get too complex with that. I don't care
about nutrition.
Well, I don't really like to eat a lot of stuff that has all that anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I do like fresh stuff. I try not to just make it too complicated. I like juices. For some people might think I just have like an all liquid diet a lot of times, man. And then just like solid, simple foods, like a pasta. Like, it's like I just break it down into those food groups of like, okay, you need like a carb, a protein, and a juice or a fruit or whatever it is. I don't know what.
Actually, you need 5 servings of fruits a day.
How are you supposed to get that?
You eat 5 fruits. But also
fruits.
ever since I saw This Is 40 a second time, I keep saying like that doctor was like, you need to eat more fruits.
Fruits?
Even like earlier today, I found a Chinese fortune cookie. You know how on the back it says like learn a word of Chinese, and that word was fruits. And then like in my head, I just kept going like, I need to learn about fruits. And now I'm like probably gonna be that person that keeps saying it, and then no one's gonna get that reference.
But that's the best. That's the best part. And what would be even more amazing is when you do have an inside joke that literally probably no one gets.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then everyone else tries to copy it off of that. They're like, no, you don't even know what are you doing. Dude?
The best thing would be is if I'm at a grocery store and I'm like, oh, let's go get some fruits. We need to get fruits. And then like Judd Apatow is like behind us.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, you need fruits. And then he like hires me.
Now, I don't know if we ever talked about this, but I want to talk about Carolyn R. experience with what was the band we saw at the Fairfax Fair?
The Spin Doctors.
The Spin Doctors. RC knows where we're going at that. I feel like now when I look at this for a long amount of time, I've sat on it for a while.
Yeah, it's been a month and a half.
It's been a month and a half. And I've had time to look.
It's been
stewing my brain. I don't even know why it's never gone up. In this show, let's
remind the youngins who the Spin Doctors.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because are they relevant right now?
RC,
they're,
who was the
90s pop hit rock band? They had a few hits in the 90s.
Can you name one?
Two Princes,
Jimmy Olsen's Blues, or something like that.
What's that?
I don't know what Jimmy Olsen's Blues.
Some
is.
Song about Jimmy Olsen being jealous of Superman.
Well, I've never heard that.
That was
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, right?
Yeah,
Little Miss
yeah.
Can't Be Wrong is.
They had a good few number hits.
Little Miss, something wrong. Yeah.
And Two Princes was their big hit.
Yeah. So, like, basically, you know, went to the Fairfax Fair, miraculously got in for free. I don't know how. But then, you know, they were the headliners.
We do know how.
We do know how. But it just sounds better.
Snuck under the fence.
No, we actually had tickets, just so everyone knows it was legal.
Yeah, but basically, so we got in there, and you know, they're like the—I would say they're like the main event, right? Yeah. They were like the headlining act. of what's it called, Fairfax Fair.
Every year they have a decent named act that comes and performs.
Yeah, even though I think the Friday night lineup they had was like just demolished everyone, because they're all supposed to have what, like the B-52s were supposed to be there on that Saturday, and they couldn't show because one was sick, so they had Third Eye Blind was there, you know. And then before that, the night before they had like some other, like it was like the Budweiser tour that came in. You had like Filter, you had I forget who else was there, but like that type of like
the 90s harder rock.
Yeah. So I was like, these guys are main event caliber. And then you have Soul Asylum.
Third Eye Blind.
The one I'm talking about.
Spin Doctors.
The Spin Doctors come up there, and like I'm like in my head still, I'm like, those are the main event guys, you know. But then again, it's a Sunday, so maybe
I think you probably leave the big act for a Saturday, right?
Yeah, I guess that would be Third Eye Blind, which is a pretty big act in my head.
Yeah.
In my head. But either way, so, you know, I was like, cool, you know, Spin Doctors, cool, I heard them, they have good acts. A lot of people weren't standing, or there were a few people standing in the front. You know, they had that span, that the sitting area, and then you had the front gate, or the front line. There wasn't really a lot of people there. At one time, there was just one person standing up there, but only when they played a big hit or a song that everyone knew, people would go up there and start jiving, and then they would go back and sit back down.
Dang, they were Fairweather fans.
I will say, there was a couple really young kids.
Yeah, like tiny kids.
Tiny kids, like, doing, like, crazy dances up in the front the whole time.
They were busting the move.
They were busting their moves.
Like, serious. Serious, like 4-year-olds.
Like, serious moves from, like, elementary school kids.
Was it, like, a lawn setting?
No, it was
in, like, a parking lot.
It was pretty much, yeah, like, it was like, you know, it was like a festival setting. Not like open, but they had chairs all the way
back. Like a blacktop.
Yeah.
Ground.
But whatever. They put on a solid show, you know. But the one thing was, they were advertising, hey, by the side of they're pointing at the table on the side right next to the stage, saying like, hey, after the show, we're going to go over there and meet you all and sign, you know, sign stuff, and you can buy stuff from us. And they're like, but you guys don't have to buy anything. But it'd be great, because, you know, that's where we earn our money. But, you know, you don't have to, and we can go meet you. And I was like, cool. You know, after the show, I was like, all right. For some reason, I didn't really feel like it. But, you know, like, Carolyn wanted to go, and Carolyn's brother. So they felt attached. So it's like, okay, let's go meet him.
Well, I want to point out something else that was observational during in between that. So basically, they said, you know, we're going to meet you at the table after the show. But then they still did an encore, and they had like a pretty big encore. It was like maybe 20 minutes worth, 25 even. But when they told people to go to the directional of the table, like half the audience went already. But then during the whole like 25 minutes of the performance for the encore, they just stood in line at the table, which is further away from the stage. And in my head, I was like,
they got shafted.
I'm like, they're not going to go anywhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, why don't you just sit back down and enjoy the show for like, you know, whatever, the whole ending. But instead, like, I thought the audience was kind of like, I mean, it's cool that they're so eager to like meet the band, meet the Spin Doctors. But didn't you think it was odd that like they didn't like come back and enjoy the concert? They'd rather watch the concert from far away just so like they can save their space in line to meet them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was odd.
I thought it was pretty funny. Like whenever one of the songs would end, like you saw the Spin Doctors before. I don't know if
I saw them when they were kind of popular back in the day.
Yeah, I don't remember if they did this back when you saw them, but after each song that the Spin Doctors performed, they would go like, the Spin Doctors! Like, they would actually say that for themselves.
They would say them, they would kind of pop themselves.
Yeah, they'll pop themselves. That's
interesting.
They would give themselves their own.
I don't think
pop.
I've ever seen a band ever do that ever.
I saw that. I was like, dude, he's
let's give it up for me.
Yeah, the Spin Doctors, guys. An original Spin Doctor. Well, so like basically we fall in line, and you know, I was already feeling weird about it because I'm not a big fan of, I don't know, meeting a band that I'm not, you know, that I'm not a massive fan of.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, going there and being like, got to make up something you got to say to them and stuff like that. I really only want to meet people I care about. And that's nothing against the Spin Doctors. They're hardworking people, but I got to be honest with that. But so essentially, when you go up there, I thought they were giving free posters for them to sign, right? So you can have something for them to sign. I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe you can do that. But apparently you had to pay $10 for it. So already I was like, well, I'm not going to spend $10. And I'm like, if you buy a CD, you get a free poster. I was like, well, I don't really feel like buying a CD either. So essentially it was just like, we wanted to go in and just meet them, right? Shake their hands and stuff like that. And I thought that would be fine. So I met the first in line was the drummer. He was cool, you know, just normal, like, hey, good show. And he's like, all right, good show. Then again, I'm trying to think of something cool to say. So then next was like the lead singer. And then I was like, when the lead singer came out, he had like a mug, like on the stage. And he was like
a coffee mug, like an office space.
Yeah, like,
so the guy's like, you have no TBS reports?
He literally was dressed up like that. He was dressed up like an office worker.
No, but he had jeans on. But he had a tie and a shirt.
Yeah, so I tried to say something cool like that. I was like, oh man, because he was doing like crazy kicks and stuff. I was like, you know, first I was like, oh man, that mug is really cool. And he's like, oh, you like the mug? And he started going to his manager or whatever. It's like, hey, do we have any more mugs? Let's sell this guy's mug. Now, in my head, yeah, he's like, let's sell this guy this mug. So in my head, I was just like, I didn't want to buy anything. So I was like hoping that like he wasn't gonna give me like.
Did he bring out the mug?
No, there's no mug. They're like, oh, and he was like, oh shit, we sold out of them in Europe. And in my head, I was like, what? In my head only, I was like, wow, you're playing in Europe and you sold out of mugs. Nothing against them, but I was like, okay, that's plausible.
People like to drink coffee over there, I guess.
Yeah. So already to the point.
Tea and crumpets.
Yeah. So it's like, it's clear as day. Like I had nothing for him to sign. So I was like, cool, I just want to shake your hand and say what's up, right? And then, like, you know, I guess we shook hands. I was like, yeah, you did some vicious kicks. And then, you know, there's a certain situation where you're trying to... Usually when you communicate with people, you have eye contact,
yeah,
and you mean it. But then when he answered back that, he already turned to someone else. He was like, yeah, we could try to keep it vicious, you know? And then I already knew that situation was done. Yeah, so I was like, okay, I guess that's a reject. Yeah, I got rejected from that. And then I was like, okay, I guess we're going to move down the line.
Popular kid gets rejected.
Yeah. So then I guess we're going to move down the line. And then Carolyn was already meeting the guitarist. And this is the part that already set, like, I already found pretty annoying. Not annoying, but like, all right, so this is what that band is. Carolyn sticks her hand out to shake the hand of the guitarist to say, like, hey, that was a good show. And the dude totally no-sells her.
Just totally kind of snubs her?
Yeah, like didn't even like acknowledge it at all. Started talking to the person, not me, who's right next to her, who's next in line, talks to the other person.
Now, was it intentional or do you think he just didn't like see her?
I don't know. If you see a person stick your hand out right in front of
him.
He obviously saw it. Well, it's right in front of you, but all he does is turn to the like third person down and goes like, that's a cool shirt. And just starts talking to that person all the way down the other end.
How does that make you feel, Carolyn?
I don't want to use the word offended as Joe, but I didn't get as like upset about it.
Did you get a little butt hurt?
No.
Well, to me,
I was just like, okay, well, I guess he's not looking at me, and like I just kind of moved on.
Well, to me, I was like, well, that's a douche move because this person right in front of you, we're here to meet
time,
you.
At the same time, though, honestly, like, yeah, it would have been like nice to get acknowledged by them, even if it's just saying hi. But I felt like they were only acknowledging people that were buying stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
and that
prioritized with the customers.
Exactly,
which I understand. But then I'm also like, really, you don't have like 5 seconds just to say hi. Like,
were they at least taking photos with fans or no?
They were taking photos with people that bought stuff.
So this is kind of like a.
It was a con.
A convention. Yeah, when you go to a convention, you see celebrities and stuff. You gotta.
Yeah, like, but then like at the same time, it's like, oh. But they did, like, what I don't understand is, like, earlier in the show, they were like, hey, even if you, we understand, like, you know, the economy, if you can't buy something, but we'll be there so you can say hi to us.
Right.
So it's like they did put it out there of, like, yeah, we'd like you to buy something, but if you can't, we'll just say hi.
Right.
But then when I'm just saying hi to them, they have no interest in, like, saying hi. But I didn't feel, like, personally hurt by it. I was just more like, oh, they're more about, like, selling stuff.
Right.
But also at the same time, I will say, like, I'm not, like, a huge Spin Doctors fan or anything. I feel like if I was a big fan of theirs, like, and they, like, snubbed me, I would be more upset. Like, whereas, you know, I'm like, okay, I didn't meet the guitarist of Spin Doctors shit. You know, like, you know, yeah. I'm not gonna, like, you know, wrap my brain around that much. But if it was somebody that I really liked... Like, if it was, like, Vince Gill or something, I would be, like, really upset.
I got snubbed by Booker T once.
But at the same time, I will say, like, if I was meeting, like, a big person in my mind, like Vince Gill or something, I would have something for him to sign.
Yeah. Well, see, like, so like, further down the line, I guess since basically that dude, the guitarist, ignored us, I was like, well, then there's the bassist that's left. And this dude looks, you know, he's like a black dude, but he definitely, when I saw him... And I don't know if he was feeling good or not, but he already felt like he didn't feel like wanting to be there.
He wasn't in the zone.
He had that aesthetic of like, man, I don't really feel like being here, or like this show is too small for me. One of those things. I'm not sure. But I tried to make, because I was like, well, I guess I got to move on. I don't want to just like dish him out. So I was like, in my head, I was like, I already had something I want to talk to him about, because he had a cool strap, like with had like characters on it. So I was like, man, I really liked your strap, man. It was really cool. And then he gave me a look like I was trying to be a smartass. You know what I mean? Like one of those like, yeah, you really? Really, you do? I was like, yeah, what did you have, like Muppets or something? That was really cool. I thought it was like really, really fun. It's like, yeah, it was SpongeBob. Ever heard of him? And I was like, yeah, I thought it was cool. It really looked cool. It's like, oh, you couldn't see that? You have glasses. How come you couldn't see
it? He said that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was really confrontational.
Yeah, huh? And I was like, all right, man, good show. And I walked, you know.
Oh,
I
didn't hear that part
about
the glasses.
Yeah, and I walked, yeah, he's like, you couldn't see it from, you had glasses. Because, like, we were sitting in the front row, and we were on his side. So I guess he could see us. And, like, you know, so he said, like, oh, you didn't see with your glasses. And, like, at that point, I was like, in my head, I was like, well, this isn't going anywhere. Just walk. We're done with this. And so after that, I'm like, I didn't win at all. I was like, this is a big ass waste of time.
Now, did this affect your opinion of their music?
Yes, it did, huh? It did, because now I don't care.
Now, I will say about my history with the Spin Doctors is basically, like, I remember, I guess, fourth grade around that time. Being at the pool, like at this, a lot through elementary school, I was at the pool all summer, like all day long. Like that was basically like whatever my babysitter, you know, was being at the pool. And that year in swim team, I was pretty active. And I remember all the Spin Doctors songs were being played all the time, like Two Princes and that Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. Like specifically those songs were like that. Those were like whole summer.
Legit hits. Yeah.
They were like big hits that summer. And so I remember me and my brother, like, I don't know why it was, but that was like our song for that summer. And like,
so there's a bit of nostalgia attached to that.
Yeah. There's
man.
Like, we'd basically ride to the pool and like eat ice cream and like swim and stuff. And then that song would always be playing. Like, I don't know, for some reason it is kind of engraved in my head, but at the same time, I never bought their album. I never like waited for that to go on the radio and like tape it and stuff, because it's being played all the time. I mean, I do have a fun memory of that song going to the pool, but at the same, you know, like I'm not a big like super fan, so they didn't like offend me or anything. Like I just kind of was like, well, that was 20 years ago.
I just
like, you know, like it's almost 20 years ago, so what am I gonna do about it?
I was just left with such a sour taste that I remember I was walking. Like, now I needed, like, a real music fix. I don't know. Not that they weren't, like, good or anything like that, or they weren't, like, keeping the energy. And they were good, and
so
they're fine.
If
they're
we
working.
Just, if we never met them and we just, like, left after the concert,
that
would have
been
better.
I bet I would have been fine. And maybe the thing was I didn't really feel like meeting them either, but it's like, it felt like,
see,
oh,
but
we
maybe
might as well
it was,
meet them.
Maybe it wasn't genuine on your end, too, because you didn't want to meet them, and you were kind of dragged into meeting them.
Yeah, but, like, at the end of the day, yeah, it's all about peer pressure. At the end of the day, though, it's like, I don't feel like I said anything that would have been out of the ordinary. Because
they
me
just
saying
they
something.
Wanted to make $10 off of you.
That's fine, but
and
like
they didn't. So they're.
But like, you know, the thing is though, after, who knows if I could have liked meeting them and be like, you know what, let's go buy their album, because I've done that before. I did that with freaking Shovels and Rope. I mean, all that, like meeting a band, I think is as crucial as listening to their music, because it's almost like a culmination of the music
that
and
is,
experience.
I mean, that is true. If I, like I said, if one of my superheroes, like, treated me, like, shitty or something, I think I would be really upset. I've never had that experience, but...
What if one of your heroes was, like, a real douche?
That's what I'm saying.
Like not to you personally, but just in general.
Like, then you're so supposed to expect that, though, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, I would already be like, oh, he... Like, because, okay, for example, like, I really like the band Lit. But I feel I don't want to call them douches or anything, but I just don't know if I was to meet them. I don't know if I would be like their best friend or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how they would like me or anything. You know, like, I just don't. I wouldn't really expect anything from it. Even like, you know, like Benji Madden from Good Charlotte. When we met him, I was like, hi, I'm Carolyn. He's like, hi, I'm Benji. And we like shook hands. Like, it sounded like he really wanted to like talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't just trying to like get rid of me, you know? Like, there's certain times where you... And these meetings are only, like, under a minute. You know, it's not like you have, like, all the time in the world. And I know people don't have all the time in the world. But you really have, like, you have... When you're, whatever, famous, you have 10 seconds to make that impact on somebody. And, like, I guess Spin Doctors didn't do that for Joe.
They did. Have you ever had that happen to you, RC?
Well, he said Booker T.
Yeah,
but,
oh, yeah, I want to hear about the Booker T then.
Well, this actually goes back a few years before that. Back in WCW.
Oh, WCW
I was
Booker
at a WCW
T.
live show, and WCW was wrestling Scott Steiner.
A WCW live show? That's, live that show, was yeah. super
And I was
rare.
Along the rail when the wrestlers would come out. And I had a Scott Steiner sign. Scott Steiner came out, and he saw my sign, and he grabbed my sign, and he threw it at the camera, and he walked up to the ring and whatnot. And his opponent was Booker T. And Booker T came out right afterwards, and he was giving everybody high fives. And I'm on camera here. I can't look like a two-face supporting Scott Steiner,
yeah.
but also be supportive to Booker T. That's his opponent. I gotta support my boy, yeah. Scott Steiner. So I kind of, not intentionally, but I didn't stick out my hand for him to give me a high five. So I kind of snubbed him. Years later in WWE, Booker T comes out. He's coming giving everybody high fives along the rail on ringside. And he totally leaves me hanging. It was like totally like...
Did he skip you?
He totally looked at me, skipped me on purpose. It totally seemed like he snubbed me on purpose.
That would
but
be,
it was like a karmic balance of things. I yeah. felt like everything kind of like balanced
itself. Oh, you weren't supporting
out.
Me then, so you can't support me now.
There's no way he could have remembered that one cat from years ago.
He might have.
I don't know. I mean, that would have been ridiculous if you remember.
Like, what was the age gap, though?
It was like maybe 4 years later.
Did you...
I mean, he sees literally thousands...
Did you physically like change your look from 4 years prior?
It's possible, but I don't remember. But I'm just thinking, you know, he sees like literally thousands of faces every day. So there's no way he remembers every single face. He can't remember that one guy who snubbed him at the one WCW show.
That would have been so awesome, though.
Oh, there he is again. I'm going to snub him now.
Like he snubs you every single show.
On the record, I'm a huge Booker T fan.
Yeah, see, you're a real
huge
fan.
Huge Booker T fan. I just wanted
Hall
to...
Hall of Famer Booker T. But now he's gonna
see, but also I mean, I'm who knows? He might remember, he might not. That's one of those things we'll never know.
Well, would you?
But also,
remember?
I feel like if you're in the ring and stuff, I feel like that's not meeting them on a personal level,
right?
So I wouldn't take that as harshly. I feel like
now, RC, you've played more live shows in other venues than I have. Have people come up to you afterwards, and how do you usually respond? Like as a musician. Not the colorist, even though I bet as colorist people come up and want a high five too. But like when you were playing music in LA or wherever, like,
yeah,
how would you usually treat the people who would come up to you?
I mean, we never got really super huge or anything. I mean, we had a decent following and we played a lot of packed shows and you treat them with respect, if anything. I mean, it was all a good time. And if people come and appreciate your music and supported your music and the art that you were creating, yeah, I feel like it's your role and duty to be respectful.
Was there ever a moment where you're like, crap, did I just sort of like stiff arm that person like emotionally? Like when you're like, you know, you like, I guess you sort of big shotted them?
No, but you know, you're just reminding me of something like, you know, not to, I remember we played this one group and this kind of was like kind of a life lesson for me. We played this one show in Riverside and, this one band was opening up for us and, no disrespect. I don't try to like sound like a jerk, but they sucked really bad. They were kind of bad.
Well, how do you define that though?
I don't know.
Just not put together as a band.
Music
yet?
Is so subjective and so, you know, it's a personal subjective experience.
Yeah. You would recommend them?
I wouldn't be able to listen to them. But you know, their set had just ended, and we were in the back, and I saw my drummer across the ways, and they had finished their set, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was this close. I'm showing my finger. I got like a little hair showing.
You're doing like the small
measure. Small
man.
Measure, yeah. I was this close to saying, oh man, did you hear how bad those guys sucked? Or those guys really sucked. I was this close to saying it, but I didn't. And right at that moment, the drummer from that band walked into the room. So I was thinking, what if I had said it a split second earlier and he would have heard me say that? I mean, what kind of a jerk would I have come across? I would have been such
an
a-hole.
Are we
PG here?
An anus hole.
But, you know, from then on, I realized, you know, it's not really proper to talk smack about other people's art and what they're doing.
I feel like, I mean, what's the difference between I feel like talking smack comes without warrant. Like, you're just talking trash to someone without, like, saying exactly why. Like, you can say, like, oh, it sucks.
Well, constructively criticism something, but just to say something sucks, that's totally, you know.
Yeah,
with music, it's like there's something for everyone. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't really say, you can't be like, that song sucks. So if someone should ask you, like, why does it suck? And if you were to break it down, really, you're like, well, I don't really think there's a good build-up in the third act of the song. You're like, okay, I understand why. Like, I've had a conversation with, like, a choreographer that would talk trash about Outkast. like the group, and they worked with Outkast in the movie Idlewild, and I was like, you say they suck, why? I mean, really, like, why do they suck? And then I was like, in all truth, because I like how they sound, what makes them, why do you hate them? And like, and he broke it down like musically. It's like, well, because, you know, it feels like they can take a little bit, they can take the songs a little further. It's always just the same. I was like, okay, you broke it down to a realistic,
it's a constructive kind of approach to it,
as opposed to just like, you know, because they're chumps.
Yeah,
they, you know, I mean, and that I understand too. A bad, like, I can say like, this music sucks, and then people be like, why do you hate the Spin Doctors show? It's because they suck. When I met them, they're so bad.
I feel like they could have been a lot worse, though. You know what I mean?
Like, I know, but like,
they weren't
still
like
a measurement
straight
of,
up like cruel or anything. They were just more about selling a product than like meeting.
Is that how you guys are at your cons when people don't want to buy stuff? Get out of here! You just snub them.
Get out of
me! You guys are taking up our space.
Yeah, bother me. I don't know. I actually wonder that.
I don't think we've ever done that. But
if anyone ever talks to me, we'll find out. That'd be great.
Now, do you think people can give this off kind of like in a subconscious way?
I like to think people think that I'm like a big shot, and I'm like not a big shot at all. They're always like, you look so busy. You're always doing these amazing things. And I'm just like, I'm not. I don't feel like I am. I just like to be busy. You know, I don't think I'm too busy to talk to. And that's really my thought process towards that. I mean, I always hope that, you know, have you ever had to, you know, fall in line to meet a band, RC, and you feel like you said something stupid, or to anybody?
Oh, man, let me...
You're like, you tried to speak to Jim Lee, and you're like, oh, and it
you
comes
know,
out crappy.
I mean, I don't geek out too much on, like, celebrities and stuff, and sometimes I meet a person that I have a huge respect for. I just recently saw Cedric Bixler Zavala.
I thought you were about to go Cedric the Entertainer.
No, the other famous Cedric at his show. I saw him in front of he was waiting in front chilling, and I just said hi to him and took a photo with him. I'm a huge fan of his singing. So.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, that's really, as opposed to being like, hey, you want to go to my house and play video games? I don't know what else you're supposed to do with these guys.
Ask him out.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's really like when you're in a line type situation.
Yeah.
Really all you can do is be like, great music. Or, you know, you always had this one question. Because I remember when I was falling in line to meet Grant Morrison, people were like, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? I was like, I don't know, man. That sounds stupid thinking about what I'm going to say. But it's also like, that's all you have. It's like, you know, you can either have a choice of touching them, asking them a question, or getting something signed. After that, you can cross the line. Be like, hey, let's go play some video games. Or what do you want to meet? Want to get a meal? Let's have a date. Some shit like that. After that, you can't if you're falling in line, you know?
Never asked any of my heroes to hang out. But I guess, you know, it depends on what kind of hero you're kind of approaching. I met Alex Gray once, and he's a fantastic artist. And I asked him, like, you know,
you're like, want to get some pizza?
I asked him what his recommendations are and what his thoughts are, and how to kind of maintain that lucid artist approach to things.
That seems like an honest way of going.
Yeah,
I'm notorious for just having bad experiences,
trivial kind of things. You
just
think?
Like meeting any type of one at all. It's always just ruined, and that's just another tale of like Joe just can't talk to.
Well,
Joe
kinda,
just can't
it's,
talk.
It's kind of hard. It's like you meet certain people, and you can like immediately strike it off with them within like half a minute, and then you meet some people, and the conversation just goes dry.
Yeah,
they don't
that.
Have anything to say really.
And like I have a podcast, or I just talk, and I can't think of anything real to say. It's just. I'm just notorious for that. That's why when people meet me, I ask them questions, that are not about me. I just mess up things. I just mess up conversations left and right with like civilians and stuff like
but
that.
But there are certain people, like for example, like Kanye West. I wouldn't expect him to be like nice to me. Like I don't know. There's just certain people that I wouldn't expect much from. Maybe that's a bad example. Kanye? I bet Kanye's really cool, man.
I bet Kanye's cool. If you're not like paparazzi, you're sticking a camera in his face, and you're not like in some sort of like zone where he's.
I feel like
you know
he's a difficult person to get like close to or something. You know,
like his new album, like the one song he has, like
I Am a God,
like 300, like the Romans.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, not to sound like a historical kind of a geek or a historical nerd.
Why not?
But like. The 300 weren't Romans; they were Spartans, and I think like nobody was in his circle at all that was like could say, "Dude, you know, it sounds great, but they're not really Spartans; they're Romans."
And he's like, "What? I already had a line that would rhyme.
It still rhymes, though, man.
Spartans, oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, if nobody had the balls to, like, be straight up with him, be like, dude, you know, or nobody had any clue. But I feel like, you know, they couldn't approach him and be real with him. He's like that, like you were saying, he's way in his own kind of zone where you can't tell him that it's a... there's a bird on your head, dude. There's a bird on your head.
Listen, man, it's Spartans. It's Spartans. Kanye was Spartans, not Romans. I didn't notice that.
Maybe they all didn't notice.
Yeah. So where can we find you, RC?
You can find me online easily. You can find me on Twitter, on my own website. I got SoundCloud.
You gotta say what it is. Just
well, you can go to my main website, ArsiaRozegar.com. It's my full name, Arsia Rozegar. It's a Persian name. ArsiaRozegar.com. Google me.
Is there anything else, any work coming up that we can take a look at too? That we're allowed to announce?
As far as comics go?
Yeah.
There's the Artisphere thing coming up. I'm going to have that piece for that. It's for the Magic Bullet exhibit that's coming up. Recently just finished Flight Generation. It's a book that's coming up, and I'll be working on Epic, which will be debuting for the New York Comic Con this year.
Cool. Sounds great. Don't forget, everyone, you can check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Spelled, you can just Google it or... Also, go to one-shots.com. My newest films comes out once a month. Also, go to stray.tumblr. The show is produced by Stray Productions, also strayproductions.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
Check out my comic, Curls, at curls-studio.com. Don't forget the www in the beginning.
Thanks for being on the show, RC.
Thanks for having me.
Hope you had a blast, man.
I did.
Also, Carolyn, send them home.
Adios, amigos.
Catch you later.